My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He's a Republican representing the Hawkeye State's 4th Congressional District, and he joins us one day before the dawn of the brand new Congress, which will see a larger Republican majority in the House and a brand new Republican majority in the Senate. But things are not so easy on the way to another term as Speaker for Ohio Congressman John Boehner. In the past few days, two different members of the Republican Conference have announced they will be challenging him in the race for Speaker. And Congressman Steve King has at least made the announcement that he will not be supporting Speaker Boehner for another term. And, sir, it's good to have you with us. Thank you.
Good to be back, Greg. Thank you.
You wrote a column for Breitbart.com on this issue, essentially saying you cannot in good conscience take the constitutional oath of office and then vote for John Boehner as Speaker. Explain why.
Well, the reason for that is that we have an obligation to keep our oath of office, and it requires that we support and defend the Constitution of the United States. It doesn't say just support and defend the United States, but the Constitution itself. And when the president does violence to the Constitution, violates it, as he has multiple times, then our oath to defend the Constitution becomes even more paramount, even more responsible for us. And I've watched as I've stepped up and tried to defend this Constitution, and I've been blocked at many turns, probably not every turn, often by the Speaker's office, the leader's office, because they don't want the controversy. And so now we've seen Obamacare fully funded out as far as the appropriations I can see. We've seen the president's lawless, unconstitutional executive amnesty be funded into February 27th. And with all prospects that there's given away the tools that we have, the constitutional tools we have, the power of the purse to restrain this president. And there's no sign that if we play this movie over and over and over again, that it's going to turn out to be different. It's like watching a replay of Alabama and Auburn, thinking you're going to get a different result on the scoreboard. It's not going to be. I will take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I will do so with full seriousness. That's what I've always done. But the next few minutes, I'm asked to put up a vote for Speaker, and the best way I can defend the Constitution is not to continue with the status quo that has made it nearly impossible to defend the Constitution as a member of Congress. We have an obligation as a body to defend the Constitution, too. That's not happening either. It needs a Speaker of the whole House.
Congressman, you mentioned there's been a number of different ways that you've tried to protect the Constitution, and the Speaker has thwarted those efforts. What are a couple of examples in the past 2 years since you did vote for Boehner 2 years ago?
Well, one of them would be I brought the amendment that cut off the funding to the president's lawless and unconstitutional DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and for the Morton memos. The president's just decided, I'm not going to enforce these immigration laws. I don't like them, so I'm not going to enforce them. He has no authority to do that. I brought that and was able to successfully pass the amendment. But, of course, it went to the Senate, and not hardly a peep out of that. But then the big piece of this is now the president's executive amnesty of November 20th that builds on the DACA and Morton memos. There really isn't any new ground that's been opened up. He just builds on that and expands it to more than 5 million. And we had an opportunity when the funding ran out December 11th to cut that off. And instead, that funding has been extended for everything except Department of Homeland Security till September 30th, Homeland Security till February 27th, and the Speaker has said consistently, we're not going to, I mean, he's told us in not quite as certain a terms, we will not use the power of the purse to restrain a lawless, unconstitutional president. And so if you take that tool away, you're just about out of tools that you can use. This was very much envisioned by our founding fathers that the power of the purse would be the most powerful tool that the Congress has, and he has refused to allow us to use it. And then if we do that, then we cannot defend the Constitution.
We're talking with Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. Congressman, some are wondering about the last minute or 11th hour effort to accomplish this. There was obviously a lot of frustration, yourself included, at the time of the so-called Cromnibus vote about midway through December. Why wasn't there a groundswell then? How did this come about just in the past couple of days?
Well, and I'd instead go further and say, well, why wasn't there a groundswell on November 20th, immediately when the president announced his lawless act? The dynamics of what goes on, they're watching that closely. The president's press conferences will take place usually at noon on Friday, and he will drop some unpalatable bomb in on the American people when we're going home, as going home from work or going home from Congress. This happened also going home for Christmas, that the omnibus bill was pushed through in the last minute, and people were on their way to the airport and barely made their planes because, well, some of them actually had to reschedule. That was part of the leverage that was used by our leadership to get this passed. And so when you the dynamics of the public, and then you're home for Christmas, you can't get people's attention. I mean, I could get on the phone and call all over the country, and they're going to say, oh, I'll be back in Washington after New Year's. Let's talk about it then. So we're talking about it then.
You've mentioned that you won't vote for Boehner. There are two candidates who have challenged him, Ted Yeho of Florida, Louie Gohmert of Texas. Are you announcing who you will be voting for?
At this point, no. Although they're both good friends, and I like them, I respect them, Louie in particular, I have no better friend in the United States Congress than Louie Gohmert. And Ted Yeho has been here 2 years. He's working his way up into towards that category. They're good, good people. There's a third name I would throw into that, and it would be Daniel Webster from Florida. He was the Speaker of the Florida House. He understands process and power and principle, and he has great respect for the institution. And I've been discussing this with him for 2.5 years or so, and I'm hopeful that his name will be in the mix as well, alongside Louie Gohmert and Ted Yohos.
A lot of different reports about how much support this effort is gathering, regardless of which alternative Republican candidate folks are voting for, folks who will not be voting for John Boehner. We've heard some reports that suggest that Gohmert and Yoho and allies like yourself have gotten close to 20 votes, but obviously you need, 29 votes, I think, to prevent Boehner from being elected speaker on the first ballot. So what kind of momentum can you tell us about right now?
Well, I said last night as I was watching these announcements come through, my email and my Twitter account was just bing, bing with another name and another name. That slowed down a little bit this morning considerably, partly because people have been in transit from early this morning until sometime shortly afternoon. So I don't know what that number is. In fact, I've intentionally not tried to find out what that number is. Once I've made up my mind on what I'm going to do, I'm set about convincing others, and the chips have to fall where they may. If there's a number out there, then some will diminish it and say it's going to fall short. If the number is strong, they will turn up their efforts to try to twist their arms to get them to back off. So I think it's best right now to just say, all of us need to answer to our conscience, and my conscience tells me that this oath to the Constitution, which I'm glad to take, honored to take, and I respect that oath to the Constitution, it's one that's hard to keep. If you're going to have a speaker that doesn't take that oath in the same fashion, and I'm not suggesting that he takes an oath in a cavalier way. He views it differently. His Constitution speaks to him differently, or his conscience speaks to him differently about it. Mine says the letter and the text of the Constitution has to mean what it says, and you have to defend the letter and the text and the meaning and the understanding of the Constitution at the time of its ratification or the subsequent amendments at the time of their ratification. It does not do to have this being a moving, changing document, and they're standing by as if somehow this is just it's a natural evolution of our republic for us to just disregard components of the Constitution like the rule of law, the president's oath of office. Our oath is actually not in it, but it is a part of law. And this is not an evolutionary process. This is something that we must protect and revere and restore. These are pillars of American exceptionalism, the principles of the separation of powers. And you cannot have a president that assigns himself as the legislative power, and he's done that over and over again. Our founding fathers envisioned that the Congress would stand up and defend their constitutional authority under Article 1, and they believed also that the people would stand up and push their members of Congress to defend that Article 1, and they never imagined that a president would give his oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, take care that the laws be faithfully executed, so help him God, give that oath, and give us lectures about him not having the authority to legislate, and then turn around and assume that authority unto himself as if his word means nothing. It's been, 210 years since Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr fought a duel over honor. Life and death over honor. Honor meant that much to our founding fathers, and they did not imagine that a president would dishonor his own oath in the fashion that he has done.
It was just 2 years ago that three House Republicans lost their plum committee assignments because the leadership determined that they had not been sufficiently supportive of the GOP agenda. Is there any fear among you and others who are not voting for the speaker that there could be some sort of retribution here?
Well, I expect there to be retribution. I anticipate it. But, it's not what I'd call fear. It's just It simply is this, that I fear not doing my duty. And if I took an oath to come here and do my duty as the way I've explained it and pledged it to my constituents, and it's not just something that is a campaign promise that could be explained away. It's a conviction. And so you cannot be compelled to violate your convictions. And I won't be, and neither will the others that have gone on record, and there will be more go on record. I will guarantee you that. And there will be the attempt at retribution presumes that this is not going to be a successful effort.
True.
This is a growing number. There will be more people vote for a different speaker than there were last time. That number will be greater. I know that. Will that number be greater than 28 or 29? We don't know that yet. But if it is, then we don't have to worry so much about the retribution because we'll have a new speaker, and that's the right result.
Well, that's certainly what we'll be watching for tomorrow. A very important vote, the very first vote that members of the House and the new Congress will take. Congressman, very good of you to spend some time with us just the day before you take that oath one more time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Real good to talk to you. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.